side of the contenders, he entered. Disappointing men, very disappointing. And the heirs of a nation being bred on these people. They can't win for sour grapes. The worst of you are doing better than the biggest experts. Did any of you guys go to Expo 90?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have fun. I met you at Expo 84, didn't I?
No.
Weren't you there?
You've seen me here.
Well, it was spelled, it looked very much like you. At any rate, these people aren't all that great. Now, they're going to have a special betting thing for those people. Now, every time we've gone to Kevin Hart in Vegas, we got kicked out and wouldn't let us bet. Now, the real tip-off is, if they still are betting at the end of Sunday, then you know those guys aren't experts. Because that hotel isn't going to let them come there and take it. I'm telling you, I'm just dismayed at the level of information and competence of the competency of the so-called experts. You are the experts, believe me. But you know the difference between you and them? And it's faith, and they got this macho faith in themselves. Plus the fact that they're selling books and doing seminars and making that money, so they're just turning the money around. But then you have that macho faith in themselves. And their thing. And they can always find out. If they don't win the race, they've always got every well. You see the wind factor in the horse configuration of the shoe was wrong for the... But they never are disdained. Whereas we, because we're not macho professionals in of that nature...
Hey!
Well, he is.
Yeah.
We're not macho.
Yeah.
We tend to, most of us, get a little bit... of an inferiority complex, and we want to run over to some guy who doesn't know as much as we do and ask him a question. And there's your destruction. You start asking questions of other people because you don't have faith in yourself. You're going to get into worse trouble. So let's have some faith in ourselves. You're doing better than most professionals, and the only reason you don't make a lot more money than you do is you're not betting enough and you're not betting consistently. You're betting $10 here, and then you lose the race. Well, I only put up two across on this one. Or I'll only bet one horse in this race, because I do. Or I'll just, you don't do the same thing every time. And then pretty soon you find all your horses are placing. And you say, well, Sergeant's right, I think I'll just play to place. That's when they all come in first. You've got Murphy's Law out there. So let's talk about making it a portfolio. Now, well, let Dick interrupt here. Giving the floor to Dick is almost death whisper. I'm going to give him a little time here to set this up before we start talking about how you get the winner to place in show horse. Dick initially was dead set against backup money. Make more to win, and he was doing real well, and is doing tremendously with his win. But Dick kind of got a practical state. He said, hey, wait a minute. Sure, I'm making a lot of money here. I got a lot of money, so why not invest it a little more portfolio-wise and make some money in those other holes? And I didn't know whether he would really like this session or not, because it was not up his alley until a very short time ago. But he tried portfolio betting, and when he heard about this seminar, to see what he would do. And I would turn it over to him to tell you what he did. If you don't mind talking to people a little bit.
Yeah. I was showing them my better side. I'd like to introduce you to one of the most useful handicapping tools that you've ever seen. Now, most of you have never tried this. Most of you have never used this tool. But it's available nationwide, and it's called a notebook. It's called writing things down. Do you really keep records? Yes, I really keep records, and today I'm really going to show them to you. Portfolio betting is nothing more than taking whatever amount of money you have and divvying it up. If you have $1,000 and you want to bet win, place, and show, I think a perfectly legitimate way would be to maybe take $300 to win, $300 to place, $400 to show, $333 on each. And then they run completely separately. I didn't copy this, so I could pass it out, because I don't really want to pass it out to you. I'll pass it around, or if anyone wants to see it. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days at Santa Anita, and four days at Santa Anita, three of them right in a row, and then a day at Hollywood, and another day at Santa Anita a little earlier on. Basically, I took a $1,000 bank at 10% to play a city show. I used numbers that I derived in my own handicapping, just sort of peripheral numbers. I looked at my best class and PBS numbers and found the horse that I thought was most likely to hit the board. Bet. Place and show. I lost my first bet, but I turned my $1,000 to show into $1,681.40. I turned my $1,000 to place into $2,325.30.
4 days,
right?
20 cents. 5. Well, 4 or 5 days?
This is over 5 days.
Not a bad day.
5 days, passing almost nothing. A lot of this was done sort of in the spirit of adventure to try this. Because I had a new way of determining my bets. I found out that I went 1 for 4 in the 10 and 12 fives and hit 80%. The rest. So obviously if I eliminate those three losses and the one that I won, which didn't pay very much. Where are you? Okay, I don't have 382.60. I'm way ahead of these numbers. And now I'm still betting that way. But the portfolio, the advantage of the portfolio is, and this is something that I kind of urge you all to do. And I got this idea from watching Howard go to the races, or particularly go to Las Vegas. And he opens a racing form up and he sits and he says, well, there's a horse that looks like it can place. Bam! He's out of his chair, run to the window, makes his bet, sits down, and looks at the racing form some more. And he may not have even looked at the second half of the field yet. Then he looks at there's a horse that can show. I'll bet that horse shows. Bam! He's off. And he may make 5 trips to the window to bet one race. And amazingly enough, at the end of the race, you know, you just lost a heartbreaking photo, and he's sitting there, well, I got this from the show, and I got, I got this from the place, oh, look at this one, I got, here's a loser, $2, damn. And you just dropped a couple $100 on the thing. You only have to do that a little while before you start asking yourself, wait a minute, why don't I do this kind of thing? Why don't I take advantage of this gravy train? Now, I, let's see what I did. I missed, how many races were there? I have 28 races in 5 days. You can see I'm not passing much. It doesn't say maiden, I played it. And to place, let's see, I hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 out of 28 to place. Which is pretty good. It turned $1,000 into $2,300. It did get up at one point to $3,100, but then I lost 3 in a row to end this. To show, out of 28, I won. $19 out of $28, which is pretty good. Its high was $2,076, and I, as I said, I ended up with $1,681. Let's see, I think I carried this forward. I've got a couple more days here that I just played the show, and I got it up, just playing the show, taking that, continuing that bank on, I got it up to $2,938.40. And that's in 3 additional points. That's in an additional 16 races of 3 days. That's the kind of potential that show betting has. And my average mutual is not high. This is the biggest show price I have is $540. I have lots of twos, 260, 240, 220, 280. Lots and lots. So, the potential is definitely there. The way that I approach portfolio betting is that I try to make my place in show vets a peripheral rather than, I don't handicap my place in show, I try to make them semi-automatic. I'm doing PBS numbers, I'm doing class numbers on all of the horses. So it's not much of a hardship to say, well, let's look at my top five class, my top five PBS, write them down, and then look for the horse that has, that's obviously on both lists, and has the better numbers. And part of it just gets to be guesswork and instinct. And the nice part about it is you can get wrong and still collect your show bet. Or you have three chances. You can throw out the winner and the place horse and still catch the table. That's the approach that I've been using. Yes?
One horse or two horses?
One horse.
One horse.
Yes?
What percentage of your bankroll?
10%. But that's a, that depends on your efficiency and how many runouts in a row. The most runouts I had to place were three in a row, which is how I ended it up, and the most runouts I had to show were one in a row. I never had two in a row to show runout. Yes?
Do you use a piggyback routine at all?
No. No, I just went a straight 10%. There's a couple reasons. The piggyback requires enough bookkeeping that, so I'm after using this place and show that I then handicap the race. So the piggyback just takes much more book work. And I have to stay on top of it all the time. And I'm tempted by it. And particularly in the show end. I don't think it would work out terribly well in the in place because you do have some runouts in a row. But in show, where you don't have a lot of runouts, it could work great. Let's see, the most I remember, I ran 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in a row there, and 7 in a row there, and 5 in a row there. So it would probably work very well, but no, I didn't try it. The other thing is, when you're talking about compounding a 240 and a 280 and things like that, the compounding doesn't really kick in too drastically. I might have made more money, but I might not. So what I'm looking for is something that's semi-automatic. I never spend more than about 3 minutes on picking this horse. And then I just turn the page and start handicapping. Write down my place and show bet. And the thing is, many times, my win bets won't have any relation. I may bet on a horse to place and show and not even consider him a contender to win. I try to keep them not only separate bankrolls, but separate mind compartments. That's that mechanical way of handicapping. I'm looking for a place horse. I'm looking for a show horse, particularly. And once I find that, then I turn that segment of my handicapping off and turn on my win handicapping. And it's a whole different look at the race. Yes?
What do you think of Huey Moll's place dutching ideas?
I haven't played with it. I haven't
used it. That's what we're calling it today.
I really haven't studied it. I've had it for a while. We're writing a book and we'll put some of that stuff in it. But I have not tried it. I look at it as, I can take 1,000 to 23 pretty quickly without it. And I have, my win percentage is low enough that I don't know that dutching would have done it. Maybe. But I'm just not familiar enough to give you an intelligent answer on
it. What is it you're looking at besides PBS and your class number?
That's about it. Current form. My procedure is to find a horse and see if I can throw rocks at it. In other words, here's a horse that just won last time out, that's dropping from 25 to 20. Here's a horse that he's got good PBS, decent PBS, great class, but he's been beaten 14 lengths in the last two races. I want a good, solid horse, and then I want it to look halfway decent. Which is, I never get much price. I mean, $5 and $5.80 was my top price. So, and in these last, in the last, let's see, 3 days that I did, there were 1, 2, 3 claiming 10s and 12 fives. I would have won one of them, and it would have paid a lot, but I chose to pass those. Of the others, I only missed, in 3 days, I only missed one bet. And that was Charmoon, and a non-winner's one. And I ran fourth. You have to live with that. But that's how I approach it, and you can approach it exactly the same way when you're active betting, or six betting, or anything else. I think the trick is to have a separate bankroll, which is much of a trick, and to have a separate mind, because the horses that I use here many times don't wind up being heavily considered for win at all. And as I look down, they didn't really win very much. In the last 3 days, I went, what did I have? I had 16 races. I went 1 for 16 on the winning. And 9 for 16 in place.
Both he bet place and show.
And 15 for 16 in show. Sometimes it works one way, sometimes it works another, but it doesn't point toward the win very often. It points toward the horse I think that peaked last time. And can still hit the board this time.
What you're saying is if your place and show bet's only 1-1 and 16, not you.
Oh no. This my place and show bet, sure.
I don't want someone to go away and say, Dick only wins 1 in 16.
No. This is entirely separate. Once I get done doing this, I then turn on my computer, turn on the energy program, and handicap the race for real, and pick two horses to win, splitting my bet 60-40, with a whole different mindset and a whole different bankroll. And if I decide to do any exacta betting, well, I turn a few pages back here and find my exacta bank, and start cranking on that one. Maybe take a box or do whatever I want to do. I don't bet many exactas. But portfolio betting is, I think it's the only way to go. Besides which, it tells you, how many people have you heard say that, you know, they're winning 70% out there, but they can't take home any money? Why? Because they win $100 on the win in and bet a $75 exacta box someplace, or a $90 exacta box, and they wonder why they don't have any money left. This tells you that your what your proficiency is, and if you're making money, and each bet should be forced to carry its own weight. Don't make your win bet subsidize your exactas. That's just ludicrous. If you don't make money on exactas, don't play. And that's sort of the solution I've come up with. I don't play very many exactas. Okay.
I think that was very good. We'll have you back later.
Thank you.
But I want you to set that up a little bit because you really, I saw him one day when he was first starting with this last April. And he decided that he kind of let me help him. He bet $200 to show and he won every bet that day. And he had some place bets. And when he got home, I said, you know, that one of them, you bet $200 on and haven't run for 6 months. No, you couldn't have jumped
in. About a year, you wouldn't have been. It was a year. About a year and 10 weeks, and I missed the date.
Now let's take a little more scientific approach to finding place and show. This is from the New 55 Percent Solution. Start with place.
Okay. Well, three.
I know this is true because Nick Mitchell keeps quoting me. The contender, second most likely to win, is not the one first most likely to place. It only happens 28% of the time. Long survey. Your second horse, when you're handicapping to win, your second horse has a very dismal place record. 28%. You can't make money. 28%. Unless that horse is going on with tremendous odds. So, first thing you do is you're not looking at your top two numerical choices that you would bet and that you would win. Only your two win horses. Dick made that point. He said that only one of his 16 place bets actually won a race. Remember that. The people who bet exactus on their, or bet place on their second best horse are doomed to failure because that's not what makes a place horse. The place horse, 28 from 100 being whatever it is, 72% of the time is a designated horse. Certain things are designated. All of you have had experience with this. Frequently, it's the counter-energy horse. More often than not, it's the counter-energy horse, but sometimes when a track is, the race is definitely set up to be sustained, the two best sustained will place into show. Or, I mean, men in place. Like we had in this race with poor DJ and Silent paid $400 exactly. Now, that doesn't happen as often with the best two early horses. The best two early horses don't win in place as much as the best two sustained, because the early horses have a tendency to fight each other for the lead, and one of them will maintain its supremacy and the others will fall by the wayside. The extreme early is a tremendous show bet, however. An extreme early horse who has peaked, who has just won the tremendous feat. Now, if he's going to go off at even odds, he'll show it's not very good. But if he's got the numbers, and he's an early horse, he will very frequently, regardless of the track bias or energy makeup, that horse will frequently show. So look for price. Now, the reason we want you to do APV is that high APV horses with mediocre recent pace. I mean, the last couple of lines, they don't show you anything. It wouldn't come up very well. They have a tremendous advantage, over 29% usually where we draw. But don't make a rule of over 29%. It all depends on what the other horses are. But 29% better than the median of the rest of the horses. You can go back on it if you must put it in your computer, or you can eyeball it and say, hey, I'm going to make a place for it. Or, if he's going out of good enough odds, a place and show. High class and mediocre pace is one of the strongest in the money factors there is. Contrary wise, where he's a 68% APV, and the others are in the 80s, 90s, and up to 100 or over. But he has an outstanding pace. He came from Turf Paradise, or he came from Caliente, and he has the energy that meets this track. Caliente, they usually run those horrible third fractions, so they almost always eliminate themselves. But if he came from a high-class race at that track, and it's low at this track, and he's faster than all the other horses in the race, I mean, truly faster, after you made the adjustments Tom will talk about later. Those horses are in the money a lot. You ever notice that? Now, there's one that I love. Just take a look at their earnings box. They get 1-4-3. Or 0-5-4. These horses have secondinitis. They love to follow horses that follow horses. They don't like to win. There were a couple of horses in the Bay Area here a few years ago that were the greatest. Add something, they had add in their name. And they were always placing and showing. They hardly ever won. And the way you tell this is look at today's pace of the race. See if it's tailor-made for them, it's the only time they ever win. But one of your best readouts for a place to show is even 3-3-3-3-3. Or a multiple, with your longer readouts, like in energy, where you got 7 readouts, a predominance of 3. Synergism of predominance of 3s is 2 things, depending on the odds. A very, very strong in the money horse and a long shot win bet. Anytime you want to stop, ask any questions about this. Now, top consensus horse, I generally would not play that horse to place only, but I would certainly put it in an exact. You've got to realize that exactus, that 68% of all your exactus have the favorite in them. And more than 68% of them have an odds-on favorite in them. people who sit, play exactas and say, well, I'm going to go against the favorite, are just kidding themselves. The favorite and second favorite figure in exactas. Predominant. They're dominant. They don't, not together. You can't bet the first and second favorite, first, second, and third favorite even in exacta make any money. But you better include the favorite in your exacta because they come in second an awful lot, especially the low odds favorite. Now, if you say, you look at the thing is, you say, I can't make any money with that horse in there, don't bet the exacta. Just go bet some other damn horse because it makes more money, that horse is going to be in there. Well, I've seen an awful lot of good exacta payoffs where very low odds favorite came in second. And when you've got a long shot mixed with it, you just got to do it. They're in there. There's a statistic in the 55% solution book that I don't have with me. It tells you precisely the number of exactas, percentage-wise, that contain the first and second favorites nationwide over about 10 years of research. How many of you have that book? Have you got the new one?
New one?
If you don't have the new one, we'll give you a trade-in allowance. We'll give it to you for cost. Just, I don't know what, probably $10. That's cost and handling. In other words, if you've already got it, we look on your records and you bought it at the full price before and you don't have the update, it's bigger than the other one. So it's a real good value. But instead of charging you for it, you're already doing, we give you trading on the old Cadillac. We give it to you for our cost and handling. I hope my daughter doesn't listen to this. About 10, let's make it $10, even $10, and you get the new one. The new one has some extra material in it. Here's your number five. Number five is the one that you really were going to get the money on. Oh, good. Yeah. Look, study that number five. Now, when we say Carver Energy horse, now first, your median is 69 something. That's what's winning. That's the horse most likely to win. Now, the Contra Energy is the one with 66 and a 5.5555 readout. Contra Energy is contrable with good readouts. Don't just take, oh, hey, and this happens. You get it sometimes. You say, boy, I'm a miracle worker. I took that 66% horse and he came in second. He may on an occasion, but usually, predominantly, it is the best horse with the best readouts in Contra Energy. And Contra Energy is deviation from what the other horses have. You've got a bunch of 60, say your readouts look on your median like this. 68, 70, 69, 68, 50. And you got one here at 66. And you got one now at 67, 40. There's your Contra Energy horse, because this 66 probably is a 5.5. He's nothing. He doesn't get anywhere. There's your real Contra Energy horse, the one that has some good readouts, reasonably good readouts, some twos in it, maybe a one here and there, probably a one late if it's running early, or a one early and nothing else. Look for a one in the readout somewhere of the Contra Energy horse. Not necessarily contrary to what your model says. You say, my model says that it's early in 69.40. But contra to what you see on your engine. The engine's the greatest tool for getting exact as there is. We saw this morning, horses with 68, 68, 68, and 67. Well, the average of those horses is going to run from their engine, they're going to run the 68, whatever it was. This horse is contra to there. And it did place the one we had on the board here. So look for the Contra Energy horse, but in a situation where a sustained horse is going to win, you'll have more times it won't be Contra. It'll be the top two sustained. If it's a sustained thing. But always make sure, if it's an early variant, that you play your number one late. This is Tom Royer's advice. But not a number one late who's 66661. A number one late is like 4-3-3-4-4-1. Don't take that horrible horse once it did it. Take a horse that has reasonably good chance of. So your biggest situation is an early horse who can't hold on and gets nipped at the wire, or a sustained horse that does the nipping. Those are your two The Contra Energy is the biggest thing. I can take you over 100 races, and your second place horse will be contrary to what's winning. So in your energy now, when you change a variable, for instance, take a horse out of the variable because he can't win, that horse can still place. That's why we never scratch that horse, that's why he still stays in your readout. It's not the variable horse. So look for that Contra Energy horse. The first thing you got to do is to take these factors and go and do about 20 races, 30 races, 40, until you yourself have done enough races that you can visualize these things. See them in your readouts. You see, you're running off of the track tomorrow, or Wednesday, and betting the Contra Energy horse, and he doesn't come in, you're going to say, oh, see, you've got wasted $45 somewhere. Do some on paper and get your own statistical level. These are based on nationwide statistics we've done from our clients who are successful. So you've got to remember, if you're not, successful, you've got to become successful by trying this for yourself. 20 races will do it. Just put in 20 races that you've already done. If you keep your readouts, go grab 20 races. Take all the ones where you did not include the place horse. And don't be looking for the place horse on that one and send me the readout and say, why didn't I get the place horse? Because the answer is you didn't put him in. You know how many things I get every week? When a guy said, why didn't I win this race? And I look at his readout and says, the winner's not in there. I'm serious. None of you, of course. Now, very, very strong is the extreme Contra Energy horse, who's number one, either number one early when it's a sustained race or number one late. Tom Romer always put his best late horse. Now, he gets it down so he doesn't have a bunch of false horses in there. So he always included that one because that's where the big exact is going. And please, do me a favor. If you're going to make more money by betting a horse to place for $20 and having your two win bets for whatever you bet, and you say, well, boy, I think I got the exact, and the exact is going to play less than $90 on a $5 exact. If it's going to play less than $90, folks, you make more money betting straight and place, and you bet much more money. You make much more money betting place, show, and win. You find three standouts like Dick. That's why Dick doesn't play exactly. It's not because he can't hit them. He's demanding, he might even demand more than 3-for-1, 3-to-1. But don't take an even odds exactly just because you say, I have the exact, what do you make? I got back $46 for my 30. And don't try to fudge. If you're going to play an exactly, unless you're real good at boxing two horses, if you get them first to third when you box two, don't think that you can go back tomorrow and get anything better than first and third. Check yourself out on this. Check every one of these out. The 20 races, and go over each one and see what it's doing for you. If you're leaving the place horse out, do it again with the horse you knew place after the fact. Redo the race. See what that place horse showed you. Sometimes it'll show you nothing. You couldn't have got it with my computer. But many, many times you'll find if you think about it, think in terms of making all the money you can. You'll expand your mind. You won't destroy your capacity to get the winner if you think the place it shows you. You won't destroy your capacity, I promise you that. That's, a lot of people think, boy, if I get lose my winning edge, though, and start thinking about place it shows, I'll be a winner. Well, if you're making enough money to win, if your winning edge is sustaining, then you don't have to worry about this if you're happy with what you've got. But if you have those days when you can't get a winner, save your soul, and you had all your horses came into place. How many of you written me a letter? Oh, that method is real good for getting place horses. I got 17 out of 20. Better? No. Why? Well, in the long run, you know, you make more than just bet to win. I said, how old are you? You know, if you're over 21, you better start thinking, because the long run is getting shorter every day. I mean, you play value and you do it for 128 years, you'll make more than that. We will play in the winners. But we haven't got that 128 years. Take what you got. Take what is there. Take all the money you can get out of the race. Now, I got a ridiculous thing from a guy who shouldn't know better. I said to James Quinn, he does very well on Pleasant Show. In fact, I took that his horse to Pleasant Show and made a lot of money. I'd like to go down and visit him. He had a horse the other day, was worn off at $4 to place and $30. I said, yeah, it irritates the hell out of him. Well, you have that backed up, didn't you? Four races he was signed, wouldn't even talk, wouldn't look at him. And Quinn, he said, you know, in that case, you were right. He didn't tell us. We gave him all our horses, but he wouldn't give us his horse. I'd have been up there. But
pretty good. Bert Main had the $40 winner on top.
Yeah, and Bert had the winner.
He'd have thrown it in.
Paid $36, I think. This
$2 exactly to pay $1,700.
And he wouldn't give us that horse. So, and he says, well, the reason I don't play, but back it up is I don't have a big enough bank. And I said, bank you've got and split it. Your other bank keeps going downhill on their win, split it and make some money. But there is that, these macho people, oh no, only sissies bet the placement show, or you make more money in the long run, or whatever. Sure, you make more money in the long run, just win. But if you get win and placement show, you make both best of both worlds, three worlds. Okay, the big win last. You've heard about the big win, but those horses are very likely to win by four legs, so they wouldn't go away, or they win without any trouble. Those horses don't come back and win to the degree that Quirin's book says they do, or anybody else's book. They come back and place. A horse that placed last time is got a better chance of winning than a horse that won last time. But a horse that won last time, by an outstanding margin, will probably go up in class anyway. Lock him up. So he's a good bet to place. Now, this is where a lot of you make a mistake. They take a maiden winner, and they say, well, that APV's no good. And the maiden winner just runs away with that maiden winner. And they wonder why, when they put it in the computer and it comes out 1-1-1-1-1-1-1, why it doesn't win the race. So there's something wrong with the program. Nothing wrong with the program. The maiden, a good strong maiden win, must be at just about the day's purse in order for the maiden to be able to blow against winners. They're carded for those. So if the maiden won at 68% of today's purse, that maiden is going to not going to win very many races going against winners. So people have bet maidens after a maiden, big maiden win, when it goes against winners to win, unless that horse over the, or equal to today's purse or within the ring, close to it, don't expect that maiden to win. But if the maiden won at about or better than today's purse, and the people who are prejudiced against maidens winning, you know, how many people say, I would never bet a maiden winner going against winners ever? They place an awful lot. Place an awful lot. I don't know how we've been so honored that Dan Duran just wandered in. Amazing.
The Dan Duran?
Wow.
All right, here's one. Here's one where you really make some money. And this is one you don't have to have the program ahead of time. This is the that procedure I talked about this morning, which I'll repeat. When you see a morning line favorite, start drifting up 4, 5, 6 to 1. I've got a boarding line favorite at a track in Chicago, north of Chicago, Balmoral. You pay $32 a place. They just let it go down. And in New York, if you play off track in New York, and you find out who the Rogozin horse is, which is real easy, the odds go down. You take the horse that was morning line favorite before Rogozin changed all the odds and play it. Those horses place a lot, sometimes win. Watch out for that morning line favorite or second favorite, and when their odds drift off. That was all I used at Del Mar last summer when I went down there. I saw morning line horses that should have been 2 to 1 going off at 8 to 1, 11 to 1. Listen, there's a reason that's a morning line favorite. So they're in the money, they're very frequently in the money, your top two of morning line. course, keep a place, model it. That's what I want you to do when you do 20 races or however many you'll do with this. Keep your place model. See what's placing. You'll see these facts that I've been outlining, that two sustained horses are more likely to come in 1-2 than two early horses, things like that. Oh, I will come to you. Okay, the vital role of the second favorite. This is a 44% of all exactas include the first favorite. 23 the second favorite. They figure together in 57% of the exactas on the morning line. On the morning line, the first two figure in the exact 72% of the time. They're not together. I'm talking about the first two separate. The favorite figures in 47% of the time on the morning line. That's 62, isn't it? No, it's 72. The 57 is 67.
Would you back up?
Yeah, 57 is 67. This is back when I used to make mistakes. 72 is right. Yes, sir, back us up.
Where you have the 44 and the 23.
That becomes 67, not 57. So 67% of the time, the top two betting choices figure in the exact. Not together now, but one or the other. And in the morning line, it's even better, 72%. This is where the place horse comes in first to the second favorite. Read those statistics in there, and you'll see that any way you cut it, you leave the favorite and the second favorite out, you're cutting your chances. Terrific. But you change that one number from 57 to 67. The diction is not really edited. Okay. New. You saw on one of the programs, HEX, today. Take your ranking zone. You don't have to do your rankings unless you have ties and you do the number. Take your hidden energy. Now, if you synergize with people, play three people, you're going to have to just figure your hidden energy. Hidden energy is second and third fractions together. Factor X is the first and third fraction. You combine the two of them, average the two of them, and it's a very, very dominant top three figure in exactly quite a bit. So if you don't have any ties, just use the ranking. If you do have ties, isolate the number. You guys not understand that? Just call that HEX. A combination of hidden and factor X. It'd be HIX, but I won't have any Hicks in my freedom. HEX is hidden. Second and third fraction. Factor X is a great corollary. Hidden energy is a great corollary. When you put those two corollaries together, you get a tremendous exact corollary. And it tells you how to do it for phase three and synergism. Now back to this personal procedure I told you this morning. I'm doing the same thing Dick does, essentially. But Dick did it in reverse. He says, then I start handicapping. Well, I handicap first, or let somebody else do it, and I usually do that. I determine if I'm going to play five races, the two horses I'm going to bet to win, come hell or high water. Regardless of odds, I don't give a damn about the odds. I have found over the years that if you start waiting for odds before you make your win bets, you are getting yourself into a mess. I bet the minute I arrive without looking at the odds, I don't care what they are. Because for every time one of them goes down and you lose money on the race, one of them goes way up and you make more than you would have. You wait for the odds. You got more. See, the more you're around that crowd, the more you're standing around thinking, the more subject you are to making a mess of your life. The best winners get their money. They have their decisions. They take that money. And if you ever see me in a racetrack, I run. I can hardly walk with my arthritis sometimes, but I stumble into that window as fast as my little crippled legs will carry me. And boy, especially when someone starts talking. When I have someone start talking, the guy says, wait a minute, before you start talking, I'm going to make a step. So I get it out of the way. If I'm going to take $400, $200 is now spent. I can't do a thing about that. I'm not going to go over and change tickets back. I've got that. I put that in some secret pocket down to this. That's my decision. Now I've got $200 to play with for. And now I'm going to use all this stuff. I'm going to leave these readouts. And I might make a third win bet, but I don't think of it as a third win bet. It is the win bet from that bank. And I see, suddenly I see, gee whiz, there's that morning line horse is a favorite. He's going off at 12 to 2, and look, he's got a 2-3, 2-2, 3. He's an even-paced horse. He's got to be in the money. Jacqueline Plugman was a wonderful thing. $10 to show. And the horse had all the readouts. This is back in April. One since, but that day it had all the readouts. It was even. It had the least deviation from the dream race of its fractions. It was like 58, 58. Very even. Hey, that horse a lot to show. Paid $10. Hey, the winner of that race, we didn't have a paid huge amount. And we didn't have him in the computers. We didn't even consider him. So if anybody, any win bet we made on that race, we automatically lost it. Neither one of our horses were even close to the win. But $20 on Jacqueline Clayton, there's $100 back. I've only got $50 in the win in anyway, so now I don't give a damn. And that's over in the teller's cage. I can't touch it. So that's down the chute, but I've got this.